Well, good evening. Welcome to Ian's Place. My name is Ian, and this is my place. I want to tell you, I just came back from the movie Mamma Mia, and it is a must. I saw the stage play in Vegas. It was excellent. But they have done a huge job on this movie. It's a must. It's just a must. You just got to go to it. Don't even argue with me. Just go. And it's going to be the best time of your life. I just feel so good. I just got out a little bit ago. We're going to be talking about the brain tonight. But before I get into that, I hope that it seems like I've got some consistency in my audience. There's a lot of people out there that listen, and I just want to know, how are you applying what I talk about? You know, it's called the power of manifestation. It's called the power of attraction. It is called the secret. It is called knowing that God within you and how it will work for you. And if you're using the principles and they are working for you, I would like for you to call in and tell us about it, because, I mean, I can talk all day long and I can tell you what I've learned. But if there's somebody out there in the audience who's applying the principles, we'd like for you to share that, because you could help. You could say one thing that somebody else who is listening goes, oh, I got it now. Didn't get it from Ian, but I got it from this caller. And that's what we do here. We share. We share our knowledge, and that's how we're learning. This is how we're learning. We are in such we're going from one energy to the next. A friend of mine, there's a man in Sweden who actually took my book free of charge. Him and his wife worked on it for over a year. He called me and said, I want to translate your book into Swedish. It's a very important book and should be translated. And so he did it. And it is now online in Sweden in the Swedish language. Where was I going with this? Anyway, he was telling me that the churches in Europe are, basically the Catholic Church in Europe, are empty. He said people are leaving the churches in droves, and as many people are leaving the churches are connecting with their spiritual self, because everything's spiritual. What isn't? So we're in this changeover from religion, the control freaks, into your own 1-800 number to the Father within you. And so how we're getting there is people are telling people, guess what I learned and guess how it worked for me. I only speak of what I have learned after 20 some odd years of studying these principles, and I know they work. I live the principles that I speak of. This is my life. I walk my talk. I can say unquestionably that I walk my talk. Now, so there's a lot of other people out there who are walking their talk, and I would hope that you call in, because you just might say one thing that will connect with another person who's listening, and then they can get it. They can go, oh, I get it. And every time you have the aha, oh, I get it moment, then you will apply that principle, because it rings so true to you. It's just like, wow, cool. I get it now. I get that I'm powerful. I get that I'm 100% responsible for my whole life. I get that. Thank you, person who called in. I get it now. So I know I don't get any callers. I don't know why, because I really love callers. And if you want, you know, to share what's going on with you, I think that would be great. So anyway, again, one more time, go see Mamma Mia. It's wonderful. So I sent out the flyer today, and if anybody wants to get my flyers on Sunday to remind you what we're going to talk about, you just go to iansplace.com, and on there is my email address, and just click it and ask to be added to the mailing list. So today the flyer went out, and it said, how powerful is your brain? What is the brain's function? Is it merely to navigate us from one point to another? Or is it merely to store our memories? So let's talk about this. And that's what we're going to do. So when your finger gets a cut, to talk about the brain, when your finger gets a cut, doesn't it immediately send a signal to the brain to fix it? Whatever the brain's finger says, I've got a boo-boo. Doesn't say how to fix it. It just says signals, brain, I've got a boo-boo on my pointer finger on my right hand. The brain is the one that figures out how to fix that boo-boo. It looks at the finger and will determine if anything needs to be done, if it's just a scratch. It will determine if it needs medication on the scratch. It will determine if it needs a stitch. It will determine if it needs a Band-Aid. It will even determine if we have to take the finger in to the doctor. So that signal immediately, so the finger immediately goes to the brain. When you are going to get up off the couch, the body asks the brain, which way do you want me to go? Because it's the brain that tells the body where to go, right? That's true. So the brain does a lot up there besides just being a computer that we input information to. The brain does problem-solving skills that has been taught. It even knows what you are going to do with your life, and you can hear it whispering, hey, let's become a lawyer. The people around you are saying, become a doctor, become a doctor. And your brain's going, no doctor, no doctor, lawyer, lawyer. But the better one is, everybody around you wants you to become a lawyer and a doctor, and your brain's going, no, 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 we want to be an entertainer. We want to be an entertainer. So the brain even knows your passions. And you hear, let's be an entertainer, let's be an entertainer. And the other you is going, yes, 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 let's become an entertainer. And then the altered ego part says, no, 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 become a lawyer, become a doctor. So you have all this input, and your brain is sorting it out. Yes, no, no, yes, 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 no, yes. So the brain does a lot of functions. But the best thing that the brain does, it puts your life together for you. So we have an instrument called the brain, and then we have us, which there's no separation, but there is. Let's just pretend there is just for a moment. Because you are inputting to the brain what you want to do. That human side of you that needs to dictate everything that you do in your life, that you think you have to dictate to. And there's this separateness. It's like you talking into a microphone. Hello, microphone. I want this put into the computer, please. I want to go to the gas station at 3 o'clock. And the brain tells the body and sets up the body to go to the gas station at 3 o'clock. So the brain sets up what you, the personality self, you, if it was you without a body, that's your personality self. That's your human side. And that's what we use this personality just to control our life, what we're going to do with it, what we're not going to do with our life. Now, I'm not talking about the body. I'm just talking about our life. There's this human side of you that says, this is how I'm going to run my life. This is what I will accept. This is what I will not accept. This is what social consciousness tells me I should act, and this is the way I'm going to act. Because social consciousness, the collective, we've all agreed that this is the way that we should run our lives. And so I have consented. We don't have a body yet. I have consented that I'm going to run my life inside the boundaries of social consciousness. So now we bring the body back in that is attached to your personality, and you tell the body, well, first you got to tell the brain to tell the body what to do. So it goes from you, human side, human personality, to the brain. You got a microphone into a computer. This is what you do. And the brain tells the body, this is what we're going to do. This is what we are going to experience. And this is how it's going to happen. That's what the brain does. It sets up everything. So then what happens? The body has to see where it's going. So the brain sends out a signal. It's a ray. It's an energy. It's the Superman thing. That red, you remember when he shoots that ray outside that he can look through walls? You have that same ray within you. It's not poppycock. When you get really good at figuring out what to do or how you work, you will see what that ray does. So the brain tells the eyes what to see. This is what our brain does. The eyes are only a lens. They are only seeing what the brain is thinking. That's all it sees. And if you want to see a toilet in front of you, and then you go, but if you turn around, there's a wall. So you turn around, there's a wall. So the eyes turned around and saw what the brain told you to see. Now, the question is, now that you're looking at the wall, is the toilet still behind you? And the brain says, yeah. Okay, so you turn around, there's the toilet. But could you? And the answer is yes. Could you change the toilet into a bar? And if you get really good, yes, you can. So the brain tells the eyes what to see. It's a very powerful, powerful computer. But you tell the brain what to manifest. The brain doesn't manifest on its own. You, your personality self, without an embodiment, tell the brain what to do and what to set up. And then the brain sets that up. So that's how it works. That's pretty rudimentary, that word. Sometimes my tongue gets so twisted. Anyway, that's how it works. So I had a conversation with a very good friend of mine the other day, who's Christian. And we got into talking about The Secret, which he's watched, and The Power of Attraction, the book. And what started this was his mother used to read a lot about Edgar Casey. And he asked me how much I knew about Edgar. And he asked, was he an occult? Was he in a cult? And I found that to be an interesting question, because if anybody knows anything about Edgar Casey, you would know he's not in a cult. But he... In his mind, Edgar Casey, being a medium, that automatically put him into a cult. Anyway, we got to talking about The Secret in the book, The Power of Attraction. And he said, well, this, you know, it's an interesting subject matter, but it doesn't work. He goes, my friends have all tried it, and they make a wish and it doesn't come true. So, you know, they make it too easy. That was his complaint about The Secret and The Power of Manifestation, that they made it sound too easy, and his friends tried the easy and it just didn't work. So therefore, all of these people that have put themselves out there, I guess they're all lying. So, too simple. Well, let's take a look at this. I would have to argue that too simple is really a cop-out. Because their own book, the Bible, the Christian Bible, tells them how simple it is. Now, last week I read a bunch of Bible quotes. But I got to thinking about this conversation that we were having. And I really had to work hard. They think it's hard. They have to work hard to figure out how to make things simple. In fact, just so they don't have to sit down and figure this one out, they rely on another person. Christians don't want to know how to, well, I'm using a general statement, sorry. Some people love religion. They don't want to figure anything out because they want to rely on another person, and that would be Jesus, because Jesus will handle it for me. Jesus will forgive me. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Jesus in the Bible, and I'll use a few quotes here, kept on telling them how to do this. It was pretty simple. And I think he was teaching this so he didn't, you know, have people banking on him to run their lives for them, and he wouldn't have to babysit billions and billions of people. Not only the billions of people that are here, the ones that have preceded us, and the ones that are going to be in our future. So he gave us a lot of instructions. And again, I'm going to put a disclaimer out here. I'm not a religious person, but I do believe. It's more than a belief. I know that each and every one of us has our own 1-800 number to that power within us. And it doesn't have to go anywhere because it's within us. So one of the things there's been so many translations of the Bible. And then those translators translated from the translator that translated it before him. And all the ministers, all the priests, all the rabbis, all the reverends, we all have, including me, we all have our favorite chapters and verses. And my belief, because this is my perception of what's going on, I believe that some of it that needed to come forth came forth the way it was kept. And so this is my take on it, and it's only my take. But he said, all these things I do, ye can also do, and even better. My take on that would mean that we have the ability to walk on water, heal the sick, raise the dead, and then turn water into wine, to name a few things. That's what he said. So that would go with the secrets concept and the law of attraction concept. There's one. He also said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My perception, he is saying, hey, learn what I have learned. I have learned to carry a very light yoke. It's pretty easy when you learn that the kingdom of God is within you. Learn from me. Hear what I'm saying. You have seen what I can do, and that's why I've told you. All these things I do, ye can also do, and even better. Again, it's the secret and the law of attraction. So what amazes me with billions of Christians all around the world who practice Christianity, they read their Bible every day, and they don't even listen to the word the man was saying. So the question is, was Jesus talking out of both sides of his mouth? How many times did he have to, how many times did and does he have to say the same thing in a different way? It's another one. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? It is. It's about learning who you are and how powerful you are. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. I think, in my perception again, what we as a collective started doing is taking that little green piece of paper that's 2 inches by 6 inches and thinking that that is the power within us. That we work around our life, around that little green piece of paper. We structure our life around a little green piece of paper when you can structure your life around the power within you. That's where your real power is. It's not that little green piece of paper. But Jesus, he may have been pointing in a different direction. Again, so far, everything that we've read is the same principles as The Secret. I'm not plugging these guys. I think they have done it. The reason I like it is because they have done it in a very simple manner. And Deepak Chopra, I mean, they all have said the same thing. Are they all talking on both sides of their mouth? So Jesus, so far, everything that Jesus has said points to their concepts also. And he said, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Now, in old days, the hell was a grave outside the city limits. And if you were buried outside there, the wolves and everybody could dig up your body and tear it up. And in order to go to heaven, you were supposed to have a whole intact body. But do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Well, doesn't that sound kind of like religion? They're always telling you about you going to hell. They're going to take your soul away from you. They tell you all these uglies about, you know, your soul being in jeopardy, your mortal sins, and all that kind of stuff. Doesn't that kind of say, whoa, and there's more about Pharisees in the Bible. He says, don't listen to those guys. Your righteousness must be greater than theirs. But religions are always trying to batter us down, and the only way they can do it is through guilt and fear and doubt. And Yeshua was saying, or Jesus was saying the same identical thing. Let's talk about this thing, this powerful thing that many people call, that many people call God and Allah and Lord and Father, Mother, Father, Principle, Yin, Yang. Now, this power, this powerful thing, who made everything according to the Bible, suddenly stops its powerfulness when man hits the earth. All of a sudden, it disappears. It has built universes, galaxies, stars, earth, animals, fish, figs. It's created everything, and then he puts man down and he disappears. All of a sudden, he can't communicate. It's not true. He is communicating, but not the way religions have taught. But the Bible says he totally stops communicating except to a chosen few. All of a sudden, it lets a chosen few dictate what they perceive is the right message that God has given them and them alone. And then they tell the rest of us they have received this message, and then we're all going to hell unless we obey the message exactly. But God is a loving God, so depending on which religion and which era we humans are in, God changes the mortal sins to venial ones and venial sins to no sins at all. It just depends on who's in the office. Depends on which pope it is, which president of which church leader. I mean, we just go on and on and on about changing sins one time or another. They need the people coming in to make the tithing so they can stay in business. So we have this powerful thing, and we hear it a lot. The churches don't want you listening to anything that you have to say inside your head because it's the devil. It's evil. They don't want you listening to you. They want you to listen to them. The Catholic Church has their own Bible, but they don't want their people to read it. Why? Because they might misinterpret it to themselves. Go figure. They want you to buy the Bible, but they want you reading it because you might misinterpret it. They want to interpret the Bible themselves to you. So, so here's another one, another quote from Yeshua. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. So, here we go. The one that they pray to, Jesus. The one that they ask things from, Jesus. The ones that they want forgiven themselves, the sins, Jesus. And they don't even listen to the words that he's told them. He's telling them, you can do this. So, his words that they read all the time and talk about all the time, these words, are they just words? Are they platitudes? Or are they words that mean something? That they have a reality behind them. When he says, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given to you in that hour that ye speak. For it is not that ye speak, but the Holy Ghost. If you have to be drilled or somebody's coming after you, you're in a predicament. You don't have to worry about it. Because there's this power within you that's going to take care of you 100%. And doesn't this, again, sound what like the secret teaches? Absolutely. There's no difference between the teachings of the Bible and the secret and the power of attraction. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no dark part, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give the light. Wouldn't that be when you are full of light? When you are light feeling, when you are light person entity, light entities, they don't have any doubt or fear, do they? They don't. When you are attracted to somebody, I mean really attracted to somebody, not physically, not sexually, when you walk into a room and somebody owns it, I mean there could be 100 people and that one person owns the whole room. It's not because they're ugly. It's not because they're mean. It's not because they're being sarcastic. It's not because their energy is hateful. Let me take this back. There is a person that could own the room with all those attributes, but so do all the people in the room with him. And then that is their reality. That's what they're here to experience. You're here to learn how to hate and to make other people afraid of them and make people scared. They're there to be ugly. This is their learning this lifetime. I would say, what a sad learning. But there's a lot of people that don't have not experienced that. And what I have learned and what I have chosen to accept in my reality is it's going to get worse before it gets better. But there's so many warmongers out there and so many people being ugly to another person. But this is their last shot on this plane of demonstration to learn that. Because when we get through these times that are coming, and I do believe they're coming, there's going to be 1,000 years of peace. So if this is the plane of demonstration, and I do believe it is, all these warmongers, all these people are learning to be hateful. What they're gaining that experience of knowing what it feels like to be hateful, to be mean-spirited. And that's a really hard learning if you want to look at the whole crux of things. It's a very difficult learning to be a jerk. It takes a lot of courage because nobody likes you. Nobody wants to be your friend. So you really kind of isolate yourself as you go around being mean-spirited. It's got to be a very, very lonely experience. Do I want to be around that kind of person? No, that's not allowed in my sandbox. But I do understand what they're doing. I judge them not. But in my sandbox, I invite the people who've already gone through that learning and they don't like it or they've gained the wisdom. They don't need to go there anymore. So in my sandbox, I invite the people and only accept the people that have learned how to love unconditionally. That's all who's allowed, and it's all I receive. So, thy body be there full of light. So a light body is one that just totally loves, doesn't hate, doesn't judge. It's called, unconditional love. He also says, Yeshua, all things are possible. Even walking on water. When Peter wanted to come to the shore, he was in a boat and the water was kind of rough. And Jesus was on the shore and he says, Peter, come, come. He says, I can't. The water's too rough. And he says, come on, just walk on the water. And so Peter, you know, climbs out of the boat and starts walking. He's walking on water. All of a sudden, Peter looks down and he gets afraid and he starts sinking. Jesus holds out his hand and caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Again, where are the Christians listening to Jesus' words? Because if they did, they wouldn't, number one, be relying on Jesus to run their life for them. But he talks about faith. If Peter had all the faith in the world, he would have made the whole trip across the lake to the shore. He goes, when did you start doubting? Again, the exact same principles of the secret and the law of attraction. You have to have faith. You cannot be a little bit pregnant with faith. You cannot doubt. You cannot fear. Why? Because you will set up situations. Your brain will say, oh, you're doubting. Oh, you're fearing. Oh, hey, stop everybody. Stop. Hold the press. We're in a doubt and fear mode. Can't make it happen. Scratch everything we just set up. We're doubt and fearing now. So you're setting up your whole life through the brain that tells everything what to happen, that you are doubting and fearing, and it only follows your instructions. That's all the brain does. And everything else has to come to a stop. Everything. Because now we have gone into unconditional, unlimited thinking, into doubt and fear mode, and lack of faith mode. So everything that was being set up for you has now stopped. Because why? You dictated it. Don't you just hate it when you're around a lot of people that their life is just going off the charts? Have you ever wondered why they're there and you're where you are? Doesn't it piss you off because you're always walking around smiling and going, oh, I got this, and guess what happened here, and oh, my God, everything is going great. Because they're in the everything's going great mode, and they keep talking about it, and that sets up more everything's great mode. You set up your own life. Whatever you speak and think, speak and act towards happens. And you're bringing your past into your future when you speak of your past. I hated this. I don't want to go there anymore. Oh, my God, here it comes again. Why? Because you brought it forward. You always live in the past. We all do. Until we figure out how to live in the moment. There is no past in the moment. The past has a future and the future has a past. But neither one of them have a moment. And when you want to live in that moment, not in the future, not in the past, then you can change your moments moment by moment. You can set your future up. You can set a dream. You can set a mindset. This is my mindset. I'm going to have a beautiful, wonderful future. And then what happens is you will bring from your past an uh-oh moment. Because you think you see an uh-oh moment. You think you see an uh-oh moment. When you change your mind, which you have the capability of doing, to, oh, for a moment in time, I saw an uh-oh moment. But I'm not having that. We are going forward with what we have set up with these wonderful moments, these great moments. You can see it for a moment, but you can get rid of it the next moment and stay on course with your other ones because you're in a habit of uh-oh moments. You're afraid to step out because those crazy times, those ugly times you have had in your past, until you get rid of it, until you stop thinking about them, you have the power to do, when you stop it and stay in the moment, those do not exist anymore. The past does not exist. You have to get rid of your past. You have to stay in the moment. Jesus again tells them, why aren't these Christians reading their Bible? Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. There's nothing about a maybe. There's no what ifs. Again, the secret power of attraction. Jesus never set one limitation on any of the sayings in his that he's been quoted. He has never one quote with limitation in it. Not one. Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. That's pretty far out there. So, the people that read the Bible, are you not believing these words? Are they just talk? Is there no meaning to them? This is a pretty grandiose statement. Send the mountain into the sea. But he also knew the human thoughts. He knew how humans react to thee. And he says, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And you can follow us up. Blessed are those who do not see yet believe. It's the same thing here. Just because you don't see it in your time frame, I've waited for 2 days and it's not here, so it can't be possible. These teachings, these principles do not work. Period. But on the other hand, we went through this last week. If you think about something and it shows up 4 or 5 days later, and you were saying, I was just thinking about this the other day, and here it is. Why? Because you didn't interfere with it. It was a casual thought. You didn't put any conditions on it. And here it is. Blessed are those who do not see yet believe. And the people in the secret and the people in the power of attraction, they believe. Deepak Chopra believes. Wayne Dyer believes. Except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Because it's not in your time frame. They don't want to learn how to use these principles. They want to lean on somebody else. Jesus. Think about it. Billions and billions and billions of people every day say, please, Jesus, my God, where is responsibility for yourself? They don't want responsibility for themselves. They want somebody else to run their lives for them. They only want the goodies. They don't want to learn. Just like saying, I'm going to be a doctor. I want to be a doctor. And they don't want to go to school for it. And then they expect to be a brain surgeon in a week. Learning how powerful you are is not an overnight success story. It's a learning. It's just like going to school and learning math, or science, or history, physics. It's a learned, I want to say habit, because we're in the habit of we don't know. We're in that habit of not knowing. We can get into a habit of knowing, but we don't want to. Why? Because we want to lean on somebody else. So what we have here is a lot of information from the Bible that people just read and they just think it's a bunch of words thrown together. Doesn't mean anything. Don't they want to get behind the meaning? He's telling you, you can throw a mountain into the ocean merely by thinking about it. He's telling you not to doubt, not to fear, not to think about, like the ministers and the priests and the rabbis, go beyond their thinking process. So, I'm going to give you the phone numbers again, or I didn't even give them to you this evening. USA, Canada, 1-888-228-4494. That's for USA and Canada. And then worldwide is 877-489-6350. And the direct line is 530-776-5154. I hope somebody calls in and shares with us what they're doing with their power. And so, you know, you can share with somebody. Let's see. He also talks about thy will be done. Not once did he say, it's my will do your life. He doesn't say that. He goes, thy will, your faith. And And nobody listens to that. They pray to Jesus to run their life for them. How sad is that? It really is. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could learn how to walk on water? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just learn how to manifest the parking game? We all know that one. All the spiritual people know about the parking game. That's where you are going to get the best parking spot ever when you go to a mall at Christmas time. You are going to end up with a great parking lot spot. Everybody will, because that's how we don't want to get there. But since it's your illusion, you can get a great parking spot just like everybody else. So we have, thy will be done. He doesn't say the collective will be done. He doesn't say just the churches and the rabbis will be done. He's saying your will. And it's not according to his faith. He doesn't say my faith. According to my faith, your life will be X. He doesn't say according to the priest's faith and the minister's and the rabbi's faith, your life will be X. He says, your faith. Blessed are those who cannot see yet believe. You cannot see, you can't see your future, but you can think it into existence, and that's what you do. If I could just get one point across, is that you build your future with your thought processing and that power within you. If you can dream a dream and just hold on to that dream, stay with it, and never doubt, because your dream will be erased the moment that doubt and fear enter your brain, because it has to shut down your dream and start pushing your life into uglies, as I call them. Doubt and fears, they have to come forward. Instead of your dream, because you've erased it with doubt and fearing thoughts. Friend, just get you to know that you coagulate your thoughts into mass. You do it. Nobody else. You. When you hear people say, oh, I've always wanted to have this, now it's here. I've prayed about this. Prayer is just a thought. It's the same thing. It's just a different name for a word, for a process. You're praying. You are coagulating your thought prayer into mass, to matter. If you don't do it, who does? Because you are you are getting your request. It's like the little girl gets straight A's in high school. And all she wants to do is college, but she needs a full scholarship. Somehow that scholarship finds her. Because why? She held on to her dream. She knew she was going to get it. She just didn't know where. And she knew it. She never canceled her dream. Her dream was to go to college. And she needed to get there. She knew she could get to college, but she didn't see the wherewithal. She didn't see how it was going to happen. But she never lost the dream. Hang on to your dreams. Don't dictate how they have to show up and what has to happen. Leave that to the power within you. Thy will be done. There's no maybe in there. Read your Bible. If you are a Christian, read the Bible. Look at Yeshua's words. He's telling you. There's no maybes here. In fact, you can take the mountain and throw it into the ocean if you want to. That's how powerful you are. All these things I do, you can do an even greater. Which means make the blind see, raise the dead, walk on water, wine into water. Why aren't you listening to those words? They mean nothing? How many times have you read them? How many? When I went to church, I heard these all the time. Hello? What has to happen for you to get how powerful you are? How many coincidences do you have in your life to start figuring out that maybe, just maybe, there's something going on within you that you're not paying attention to? Thy will be done. There's no stopping anything, because he also said all things are possible. All things are possible according to your faith and your will. That's the simplisticness of it. And we're running around worrying about the next green paper that comes across our table. When you have this thing within you that is much, much more powerful than a green piece of paper. It's not that green piece of paper that is your salvation. And I use that word loosely because it really has a religious connotation that you are going to be saved. That's not what I'm talking about. It is that salvation of learning how powerful you are, that you can use it and it will take care of you. You don't have to worry about that next dollar. You don't have to worry about the next food coming across. You don't have to worry about anything. But it takes faith. It takes no doubt and no fear. It means relying on it. And that's what Yeshua does. It's the Father within me. It's not me. It's the Father within me. And so the phrase, seek ye first the kingdom of Kevin, and all things will be given unto you. What does that mean? Well, I think he's asking you to become your own fairy godmother. What do you think? Could you think that maybe that's it? He's trying to teach you how to be your own fairy godmother? I would think that's what he would say. If he was down here, I think he would agree with me. Because if you're your own fairy godmother, you can, you know, do your wand and it shows right up in front of you. But you have to figure out how to be the fairy godmother. Wouldn't you? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. So if you focus on learning about the power within you, the Father within you, and how to use it, then everything's given. If you were a fairy godmother, you wouldn't worry about a thing, would you? Not one thing would you worry about. So what I'm saying is, you have that capability within you to use that power within you to become your fairy godmother, and you don't have a problem in the world. You won't. And the people of the secret know it. The people who wrote the Power of Attraction know it. Deepak Chopra knows it. Wayne Dyer knows it. I know it. So they're just using the principles of the words from the most famous man on earth, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Christ. He wasn't born a Christ. Anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So I hope you go all out and see Mamma Mia. You're going to have a great rest of the week. My little peaskins, go out and be very nice to somebody. Look somebody square in the eye and say, hi, how are you? I know I don't know you, but as a human being, hi, how are you? We did that to each other. Just the clerk at the store, the guy in the street. It brings smiles to people. Hi. And when they know when you mean it. So go out and spread your peace to another human being. And some of my little peacekins, I will talk to you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.